folks. We are back on the Flagstick.com Tee Talk podcast. This episode is sponsored by Ping Golf and the all-new Ping G425 lineup. Learn more at ca.ping.com. Stefan Tiedorf here with PGA Championship Week, and I need my co-host for that. Scott McLeod, how you feeling going in the week?
I'm looking forward to it, really. I mean, this is a place that I love, so this has been marked on my calendar for quite some time.
It's a big weekend for sports for me. The Leafs playoff starts on Thursday. The PGA Championship starts on Thursday. It's a long weekend, super long weekend. I took Friday off, so going to get up early, watch some of that, head up to the cottage. Already told the neighbors I'm going to need their cable television to watch the Leafs on Saturday. So I will have no hot takes next week on the Saturday of the PGA Championship, but I will be a full day of couching on Sunday. So big weekend.
Yeah, there's lots of coverage for sure, and I'll be glued to the TV. I haven't been watching too much of the preview stuff so far. I had my head buried in a few other things, but like I said, I've been to this place a lot of times going back 26, 27 years now when I first went there to play it. And it's always been one of my favorite golf courses, and I've watched a lot of the changes over the years. So, you know, when you know a golf course like that, it just makes it much more entertaining to watch. You just know the nuances, you know where the players are when they get in certain situations. You can also picture what the difficulties are too, because I have played it all the way back, and it is certainly a big test of golf.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that is definitely on my bucket list for sure. We have a guest, as per usual. We try to get Kyle on to, you know, give us a quick breakdown going into the tournament. He's got a different bag this week as he's going into the tournament as a PGA professional this week, but going to be a cool week. So we're going to break down the course with Kyle, who's played it hundreds of times. So local tournament, so we'll get to Kyle in a bit. But, you know, last week was pretty dull for me. I don't know about you. That tournament, I don't even remember the name of it right now. The Byron Nelson, was that last week?
It was one of those.
It was a dud. I was like, you know what, I'll set across some time on Sunday to watch it. And I was also at the cottage on Saturday, no service up there, so I really had no idea what was going on. So I go to watch it, throw it on TV, and it's like, what's going on? Like, rain delay. So then I hop into the app, and I see they got three holes left, and KH Lee has, like,
Six-stroke lead.
And it's just
there's
like,
nothing to watch.
All right, I guess I won't even watch this, which is unfortunate because that guy has one of the best golf swings on tour. Like, so underrated. It is beautiful. But, so I didn't really watch it. Didn't watch anything else. I wanted to watch the Korn Ferry Tour because Jaeger was going for, what, the most wins of all time?
And the Battlefield promotion, which was huge.
Yeah, so that wasn't on TV either. So just no. And I had zero interest in watching, you know, Dickie Pride or win out on the Champions Tour. So just kind of I made an executive decision that this week we're not doing the week that was. We are doing the storylines that go into the PGA Championship, and we're going to start scoring those because it's just a PGA Championship episode from start to finish. You made the stipulation on Twitter and Instagram. If you have any questions in the mailbag, they better be PGA Championship related. We're going to do a five bets that we are personally putting our money on this week, which we'll get to at some point. And then we got our draft. We do a draft every single time. This is different than the weekly bets we make where we pick just three players. If one of them wins, you know, you win a bottle of wine. But this one is a full draft, comes down to the money, whoever wins the most money. So that will be good. But let's get to our storylines that we want to give a birdie to, a par, a bogey, an honorable mention. And I'll let you start first. You've played this golf course a lot. What is your birdie for this week?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing here is a whole new appreciation for the Ocean Course. You know, Pete and Alice Dye, this is a great design that they did. And I think one of the things for me, and obviously I'm from a little bit different era, this golf course got a lot of attention around the Ryder Cup 30 years ago. The golf course still remains a lot in high rankings in a lot of the different rankings, but it is sort of lost sometimes. A lot of people will look back at the classic golf courses from, you know, bygone eras and, you know, 1920s, 1930s. They'll talk about some of the modern golf courses that are getting attention, be it abandoned dunes or stuff like that. But a lot of the stuff that was built in the late 80s does not get the attention that it deserves. So I'm excited and giving a birdie to the fact that this golf course is finally going to get some more exposure to the modern golfer. And even it's been a generation almost since 2012. A lot of people don't really remember it then. I'll talk to a lot of golfers and say, what do you remember from 2012? They'll go, oh, Rory won, you know, and that's about it. So I think there's just going to be a little bit more appreciation. I think the golf course will show differently this week as well. So that's what I'm excited about. You know, the back nine here is as good as they come. Great views there. Obviously, the you know, the last bunch of holes all run along the ocean. The views are amazing, and just lots of strategy too to play the golf course. There's lots of different ways to play the design, and I think it'll really shine this week. So that's my birdie.
Yeah, I think the only thing I really remember about that 2012 was Rory running away, and I actually took me the other day where I actually went in and was like, how far away was he really after day two? And he wasn't that far away. He was only three shots up after day three, sorry. Wasn't even leading after day one or two, which is just crazy to think of. But, you know, then you go back and you look at that scoreboard, leaderboard, my bad, scoreboard, wow, from back then. And, like, not many relevant names here, right? Like Peter Hansen, Jamie Donaldson. That guy was on top of the world in 2012, Jamie Donaldson. He was in every tournament. Blake Adams. Who the heck is Blake Adams?
I last saw Blake Adams playing at, I followed him for about two holes at St. George's, the 2010 RBC Canadian Open. And that's funny because that was exactly a name that jumped out at me when I was looking at the leaderboard today going, oh, where'd that guy go?
I mean, David Lynn, same thing. This is the guy that we talked about a while ago, retired, you know, is waiting for the Champions Tour. So I don't know what's going on.
Making a whole bunch of money. He's got a whole bunch of investment properties. And I think that was the storyline we were talking about. I think that was like a year ago or a year and a half ago.
Yeah. So, like Keegan Bradley, that was back when he was on top every time. Carl Peterson was still relevant back then. Justin Rose, he's still, like, there's some names, but like none of, like, you know, it's crazy how long 9 years was. So
it is.
I do not remember much of the golf course at all. And it sounds like it's going to be a beast. But I'm actually going to start. You start with your birdie. I'm going to start with a bogey this week. And I'm giving it to the course yardage and it being the longest, longest major ever. And I'm going out on a limb and I am saying 0% chance they play from 7,800 yards. And I will actually say the average will be closer to 7,300 yards this week. Just with all the wind, they told players to practice from all the tees. I want to see what Kyle actually thinks. He'll probably have a feel on that type of thing. It just, I feel like it's a storyline. And, you know, I think what that gets is, you know, the Brysons of the world. He's going to dominate here because he hits it longer than everybody. You're going to have to hit fairways here. However, we've said it before, longer players, it doesn't matter short or long, it's an advantage. So it's going to be chaotic, but I do not see them playing from that length.
No, I don't. And I can remember when they started putting in some of the further back tees. And I can remember being with Mike Vegas, who used to be their PR man, who passed away, unfortunately, 4 years ago. And, you know, we talked about where some of the tees were and why they were building them. And it was basically because the wind flips around so much there, going in one direction and then the other direction. So they need the versatility in the golf course. So while they have that yardage, if you go back and you look at the World Cup when it was hosted there, the World Cup only played it at 6,800 yards. And so you'll see that flexibility is certainly important. So I think you're bang on. We're not going to see it unless the wind is dead quiet, which never happens there. You would see it stretched fairly deep. But I think what you're going to see here is a real variety of, you know, tee lines. And that was a cool part with these tee boxes and stuff here because of the lens. It gives you different lines and different views of the golf course. It's not a matter of a whole bunch of tee boxes that are lined up straight. They're at different angles. So 17, for an example, the long par three, there's tee boxes that are a little bit more to the left so that you're, you know, you have less of a line across the water. The other back tee deck is looked straight across the length of the water. And depending where that green or where the hole location is, that green is fairly deep. Although it's narrow, it's very deep. And that really changes how much of the water you perceive that you have to cover. So 100% agree with you. I do not think it'll play the 78, 70 that they're talking about. I would say 74, 75. 5, maybe. But yeah, there'll be lots of variety, and Carrie Hagwood as the setup will be very fair about figuring out how to adjust it based on the wind conditions every day.
Yeah, I think this is one where the PGA recognizes, hey, we need to make our tournament the entertaining one, right? Mm-hmm. We know we're the fourth in line. So look for a, if somebody is running away from it Saturday, you know, a big, like a lot of scoring opportunities on Saturday. Let's tighten up the field a little bit. Let's make Sunday chaotic so that anybody can win. And we're seeing that more and more as tournaments go along. But I think the PGA needs to do a lot, making sure this is super entertaining. And I think they also need to recognize they can't be the U.S. Open. Like, they can't just do the same thing they do. They need to find something different. So I'm looking forward to it. I think this is one where, you know, it's a different feel going into it. You know, Harding Park last year really had no field going into it. It was also COVID too, and that whole thing. And the, I think it was the first major after COVID. No fans, so it's going to be fans in the stands. It'll be awesome, but yeah, I think this is a telling point of where the PGA Championship goes. So that was also your honorable mention, was a bogey for that. What was a par you have going into this week?
One thing that's different this week that, you know, it's getting a little bit of attention, but not a lot. The fact that the PGA of America is allowing rangefinders at their events, which means the PGA Championship this week. So I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, we'll find out from Kyle, you know, what he's seeing out there and if he's making use of it or not. I just don't think it's going to have a lot of impact, especially on this golf course. This golf course is fairly wide fairways. If a player misses a fairway, they are way offline. Could it be helpful there? Yeah, you could be buried under a dune. You could be, you know, you could be in a position where you don't have any sight line, where a rangefinder is not going to be of any advantage. So, you know, unless a player has a really bad book where they haven't figured out their yardages very well, or they're way, way offline, I really don't think it's going to be a factor in this championship.
Yeah, I'm undecided too. I don't think it's a bad thing by any means. No. I think it, you know, it might speed up small things. As you talked about, that's where it really benefits, is the way offline. Did you see Tony Finau not even being aware that he can use his rangefinder this week?
No, I didn't see that, actually.
Yeah, so they asked him, like, how is that going to change? And he was like, he's just confused. He's like blinking. He's looking around. He's like, what do you mean? And he's like, you know, you can use it. You can use both. And he's like, okay. And he's like, I think we'll probably just do the same thing. Like, we need more numbers than just the pin. But I'll chat with my caddy and see what his thoughts are on that. Just on completely unaware, which I thought was hilarious. And that, you know, his prep has always been the same. You have to think about, these guys are just creatures of habit too.
Very much.
And superstitious, little stitious, whatever you want to call it. And you know, pulling out the rangefinder, they don't want to do that. So I would be, I'm trying to think, how many, let's set the over under at 2.5. And I'm not calling caddies, but I'm going to set 2.5. You will see players shooting flags this week on the TV broadcast.
Yeah, I think the only reason that you'll see it more is just because the TV, you know, the broadcast will focus on it. Otherwise, yeah, you probably wouldn't see it more than anything. So I believe you're right. I would definitely, I would go for the fact that you're not going to see it a lot from the players. You may see a caddy do it, very, very, very few times, I think, because as you said, it's just the routine for the player. And if the rangefinder is not part of their routine, then, you know, they're not going to really think about it.
Who's the first guy you expect to see it from?
Well, Bryson for sure. It's no brainer, is it?
It's so easy. It's going to be Bryson for sure. 100.
He's going to be He's going to be lining up the you know, the UFOs in alignment with his rangefinder.
Yeah, I heard all about that. He was on some radio station talking about UFO. Oh, God, he's the worst. Absolute worst. My par for this week is going to be Dustin Johnson. I don't know what to expect here. I think he's like the third betting favorite right now because he is DJ. But coming in, you know, he's not DJ. He's coming off of a withdraw with a knee injury. Prior to that, Valspar was a T48. RBC Heritage was a T13. And, you know, that came from a 66 on Sunday. You know, almost backdoor Rory McIlroy his way into the top 10 there. You know, missed the cut, the Masters. Since the Masters, you know, he has one top 10, which is very unlike him. So I just don't know what to expect. Could could DJ come in here and absolutely blow the field away and win this tournament and be DJ and give a riveting interview after? Absolutely. But he could come in and miss the cut. I think it's we're going to get to our five best bets, but I don't know how you don't sniff a missed cut from DJ this week, considering he likes to play the week before majors and he missed it because of the knee injury.
Yeah, being a little bit rusty. I mean, that's why we see him drop in the, you know, in the odds. And we know there's a good indication that how he's been playing, because if he can give up his number one ranking this week, JT can finish T5 or better and get ahead of him. There's a possibility that he could grab the number one.
Regardless of where DJ sits?
I'd have to double check.
I would assume if DJ finishes ahead of him.
If DJ finishes ahead of him, then that wouldn't happen. But I think it's T5 or better, and then if DJ's in behind him. So that obviously is indicative of his play of late. And, you know, not that maybe he pays attention to it, maybe he doesn't, but you're right. There's a reason why you're making him a par, because we just don't know what to expect, really. Okay.
I agree. My birdie this week is Jordan Spieth, though. I think this is the best chance he's had coming into the PGA Championship in 4 years to win the Grand Slam. I think he's in a good place. I think his game looks good. He's speaking confidently. He's clearly playing good going into it. So I think it's a birdie. I think it's a good storyline. It's a storyline I like. It's a storyline I'm willing to focus on. And why not? Why can't it be Jordan? It sounds like you need to scramble a lot this week. That's, you know, when Jordan's playing his best, he's scrambling, he's hitting irons, he's you know, all over the place. You know, that's just Jordan. I think it's going to be fun to watch him this week. So I'm giving it a birdie. I think it's a storyline I'm willing to go down for sure, unlike Bryson or whoever else out there.
Yeah, and I would definitely give that some merit. If you go back and look at how Rory won in 2012, although he did win by 8, he scrambled a lot that week. You know, if you look, he didn't hit as many greens, and he got up and down a lot, and that's what saved him. And obviously, that's what Jordan is going to have to do here. I think the avoidance, you know, and the thing that will go against him possibly is if he can't keep his driver on the planet. That is the issue here. And we'll get to it a little bit in talking about the golf course and so forth. But it's a golf course where you can make big numbers in a hurry. And it's not one where you trickle off into the woods and you all of a sudden get a bogey out of it. This is a place where triples and other bad things can happen in a hurry. But yeah, I would definitely give some validity to it. The course is playing firm and fast, so that's going to help him out from a length standpoint. And as you said, you know, he's a guy who really runs hot as far as, you know, emotions and momentum, and he's feeling it right now, and especially with that putter. So that could be definitely a really good story to follow this week.
Do you think somebody shoots a score with a 9 at the start of it this week?
I don't think it's going to go that high. I mean, we have a couple of questions that are related to that. Again, I went back and looked at 2012. Obviously, there was a day there where the wind blew pretty hard and the scoring average went up over 78. There's always a possibility. There's definitely a possibility around this place.
You're saying no. You're saying no right now.
I don't think so. Are we going to see some high numbers? Yeah. And are we going to see a lot of high numbers? We're going to see some funny stuff, I'll tell you that, because I've seen a lot of funny stuff around this golf course, playing with friends, good players. It's one of those places where things happen.
I look forward to it. I talk some Jordan. I talk some DJ. You want to talk some Rory. What are your thoughts on Rory going in this week?
Yeah, just my Rory take more or less is the fact that so many people are talking about 2012 and the fact that he won by 8 and that, you know, they seemingly kind of write this as if it's some auto win. Obviously, you know, he's had some success recently, but, you know, the game is just not that easy. You just don't automatically go back to a place just because you've won there before and they hand you the trophy. He is going to have to do a whole lot of work to get this done. So, you know, a lot has happened in the last 9 years, a lot of scar tissue, a lot more than he had back then in 2012. I mean, obviously at that point, you know, he's young and feeling invincible. He certainly had some moments in his career at this point where he has definitely not felt invincible. So those will be difficult to get past for him. And while he has a lot of those good memories to sort of lean on a little bit around this golf course, it's not going to be easy for him. And I don't really think he gives him much of an advantage over anybody else for the fact that he's actually won here before.
Yeah, I'm I kind of go both ways on this. My gut tells me that Rory doesn't play once the story's all on him. And that, generally speaking, has happened. I know Augusta might be different. My heart wants to say, you know, Rory's back, baby. He's hitting the cut. Mm. Let's go. I think it'd be a great storyline back-to-back. You know what? His fifth major. Is Rory back? How many? Can't wait. If he wins, can't wait for that question. How many more majors is Rory going to win in his career? So I think it's an interesting storyline, but you are right. I would not say it's an auto win. I think I do truly believe this is going to be a first-time major winner this week. Mm. That will be my my prediction. And if I can find that bet, I will place it, but I haven't been able to yet. I'm going to finish this off with an honorable mention. My honorable mention goes to Brooks Koepka's goatee, and it's getting a withdrawal. I need that gun. it's awful.
I'm wondering how it got approved by Jenna.
I don't get it's like is he's in the he has to be in on the joke. He has to be.
There's got to be a bet involved. There has to be a bet involved.
It's so bad. It's so bad. I do not get it. So that's a withdrawal from me in my honorable mention. I can't give it a bogey, a double. Just get rid of it. I hope it's gone by Thursday. You cannot play Thursday with it. Because what if you shoot like 8 under on Thursday? And then you're like, uh-oh. Like, I got to keep this all the way. And now, for the rest of my life, I win the PGA Championship. I'm wearing this stupid goatee.
Do you think it's a legitimate distraction from questions about his knee? Maybe that he's just kind of, you know, sleight of hand. Let's throw up a little goatee and then nobody will ask me about my knee.
Yeah, Brooks always is kind of playing chess when the rest of us is playing checkers a little bit.
I believe that.
So I don't know. Why don't we get to Kyle, though? I need to know more about this golf course, what we can expect out of it, what he's seeing, home course for him. So let's chat with Kyle Peters, Peppers, however you want to call him, about Kiawah Island and the PGA Championship this week. But before we get to Kyle, a message from our episode sponsor.
At Ping, our culture of curiosity has been driving innovations for over 60 years. Innovations like the new G425 iron, which brings you greater distance without sacrificing the forgiveness and control you need to play with precision. And with free access to the Arcos Caddy system, you'll play smarter and shoot lower scores. The new Ping G425 iron, better by every measure. Get fit today.
Visit ca.ping.com to learn more about G425.
All right, folks, as per usual, it's Major Championship week, and we always have this guy on to preview the course with us. One of our favorites, Kyle Peters. Kyle, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Hope you guys are doing well. How are you?
We're doing okay. I'm sure you've heard we can't golf up here, so we're just bitter old men at this point.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so we're living through you right now.
You and your friends need to quit having pops with each other after the golf.
I know, right? It's the pops. It's all the pops. We just have pops other ways, I guess, now. And that's safe, though. But, you know, that's not why we're here, yeah. Kyle. That's not why we're here. We need to know about Kiawah Island. Let's go right off the bat. What are you seeing out there this week, and what can we expect from this golf course?
The course looks really good. Obviously it's extremely long. Everybody knows that. It's almost 7,900 yards. Fairways and greens are past Palom. The times we see that, we're playing like Mayakoba, Dominican, Puerto Rico. And those past Palom greens can get kind of bumpy, but these are really pure. So they're really easy to putt on. You're not really reading any grain at all. What you see is what you get. As far as the golf course, looks like it's going to be windy. That's the main defense that the golf course has, I guess. I mean, the greens are starting to firm up a little bit, but it looks like the winds Thursday, Friday are from the east. Saturday is southwest, and then Sunday is from the east as well. And I think the east wind for this golf course is probably the easiest wind, because the majority of the holes are either straight downwind or straight into the wind. If you get a south wind, every hole is a crosswind. And if you just hit one bad tee ball, your whole day could be thrown off from there. So I think wind direction is also something to pay attention to. If you see anything coming from the south, the scores are going to be astronomical.
Good to know for a betting standpoint, which we're going to get to after this interview. 7,900 yards. Do you actually see this course playing from there? What do you actually kind of expect the average length to be across the week?
Yeah, I don't think there's any way that the tour would make the guys play fully tipped out. I'd say I'm guessing around 7,500 or 7,600 yards, because when you get some of these holes, if you tip it out at the very back, I mean, like, let's say 16 is a 600-yard par 5 playing dead into the wind. That's tough. 17 is 230, dead into the wind, water short and right, dunes to the left of the green. 18 is 500 yards, dead into the wind. It's like, you got to give these guys a break at some point. So I hope they don't tip it all the way out. I would guess they play it around 75, 7,600.
What's your experience with the golf course? I mean, being a guy who's, you know, Charleston area, how often have you been out on the golf course in years previous, and how do you think that's going to help you this week?
Yeah, I've grown up on Kiawa Island. I'd say I've probably played the Ocean Course 15, 20 times, something like that. My high school's home golf course was Cacique, which is one of the private clubs out at Kiawa. So, and then growing up, I got lessons from Ronnie Miller, who's the director of instruction out at, I believe for the whole, if not the whole island, at Turtle Point, which is another golf course out there. So I've, been around the island a whole lot growing up. Haven't played a ton, you know, compared to the other course. I haven't played a ton on the Ocean Course, but it's like, you know, going around this week, I'm not learning a whole lot of new things. Everything's really familiar. And, you know, I know all the lines off the tees. It's kind of just like, you know, go out and you're just with the best players in the world now. It's not me and old Dale Trail playing, shooting 92 and 97.
No, I did see you guys doing that. I mean, why do you give people a perspective of playing 17? Now, I've played the golf course 5 times, and I know how difficult 17 can be, especially in the wind. Although I will say, I think it's easier now because they changed up the, or harder now because they've changed up the green a little bit. Years back, there used to be that hump in the middle. So if you wanted to get to the back right, you could, but now you'd have to fly it there. What, are you terrified when you play that hole, or what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I'd say if you get it downwind, that's a lot. It's a lot nicer. I mean, if the hole's playing 230, you know, you're probably trying to, hopefully it's not a front pin. You know, you're trying to land something 215 downwind. You're looking, you know, down to 190 yards, and that's a 6-iron for most guys. But if the hole's playing into the wind, you know, and they're tipping it out at 230, that, you know, into a 20, 30 mile an hour wind, guys are trying to rip 3-wood up there, you know, 2-iron, 3-iron, and they're honestly just looking at the left bunkers, and you're just thinking, put it in the left bunkers and get up and down. You know, you're thinking, don't go right. You don't want to go too far left either. If you're left of the bunkers, you're in the dunes. So, like, a lot of the guys are just looking at those left bunkers and trying to hit it there. For any spectators at Kiawa this week, I would not stand left of that green, because there's going to be balls flying over there coming in hot.
Speaking of spectators, it is a home game for you. Will you have any fans in the stands yelling your name like you did a bunch of drunkards at TPC Scottsdale in early 2020? Not going to mention who those idiots were.
I hope not. I will have fans there, but hopefully they're not yelling at me. I've got my dad came out today. My mom will be out this week. My girlfriend will be out there. Lots of family, friends. Like, my family moved from Charleston when I was 5 years old, so I've grown up here. So I'm seeing a lot of familiar faces around the golf course, which is really cool. Coming off the 8th green today, I saw a guy when I was 12 or 13 years old. One of the first guys I ever caddied for was in the Charleston City Amateur. And he gave me $20 a day. So I looked over at him and I was like, man, we're a long way from the City Am, aren't we?
That's pretty cool. Now, you have a different bag this week. Mark, unfortunately, didn't get in, so you are caddying for Alex Beach, who's a PGA professional and a Korn Ferry Tour member. How's that adjustment gone so quickly, considering it's like it's a big week? You're used to these adjustments on the fly, but not at this level.
Yeah, he's an awesome guy. I believe he's 30 or 31, sort of the same age. He's got a really good personality, sense of humor, really easy to be around. So as far as the personalities, it's super easy. Didn't take long to get used to him at all. As far as caddying goes on the golf course, you know, it just a day or two to kind of get a feel for how they want to do numbers. You know, he's told me how he wants to work around the greens, just, you know, if I see, you know, which directions I see putts going, and you know, he might ask me how much you see, you know, stuff like that. So it just takes a day or two to kind of get used to that. The thing I struggle most with is he's left-handed. I've never, I don't know, 275 professional events, I've never caddied for a lefty. So I've found myself multiple times standing right where he's supposed to be standing. I'm like, oh, other side of the ball here.
Well, I hope that gets on TV.
Yeah. I hope so too. Local guy, a lot of other caddies, a lot of players maybe leaning on you this week, trying to find out where the spots to go are, the restaurants, so forth.
Yeah, that's something I've really enjoyed. A lot of guys will, you know, they've asked me, you know, where can I get good food, good beers, what can I do around town? So, you know, giving some advice, you know, where to go, beaches. The minor league sports teams here, good restaurants, stuff like that. So, I've really enjoyed having all my buddies in town and kind of giving them some advice on the places to go and things to do.
Yeah, before we get you out of here, a couple more questions. And one, we forgot to get to it. Rangefinders this week, that has to be a first for you caddying in a pro event. What are your thoughts on the rangefinders coming into play this week?
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all. I did it on the Korn Ferry Tour. I guess that was 2015 or 16. They had a trial period where they did that for 4 weeks out there, I believe. And they allow them in all the Monday qualifiers. I've caddied a handful of those, so I'm used to doing it, and it doesn't bother me at all. I use the laser. I don't paste anything off, so I just laser the pin and then look at the pin sheet and subtract how many on it is and get my front number off of that. So I don't use the yardage book for getting numbers at all. The things I use in the yardage books are lines off the tees, maybe layup numbers. I use the book for that. It's harder to laser a layup number, you know, to get an exact point in the fairway, I guess. But yeah, it doesn't bother me at all. You know, there's guys that say, oh, it's going to slow play down, it'll speed it up. I think it's right about the same. The places that it could help you are if a tee ball goes astray and, you know, you're over in the fescue 40 yards off the fairway, you get a very accurate number, and it does save you time from pacing things off from there.
Do you expect any players to actually shoot a pin themselves this week? I feel like they're such creatures of habit that it would be like the caddy might do it, but I just don't see a player on TV holding a rangefinder.
Yeah, I think it's going to be up to all the caddies. I mean, the guys on the PGA Tour are the caddies on the PGA Tour are the best caddies in the world. So I'd like to I hope that none of my fellow coworkers don't zap a wrong number or anything, but I think it's going to be up to the caddies. Yeah.
Did you hear that, Scotty? The best in the world caddy on the PGA Tour. So
yeah, the best in the world caddy on the tour full time, not twice in their lifetime.
Not twice in their lifetime. Oh, I gotcha. All right, let's get you
out.
On
you're out there, Stefan.
Two times. Hey, I got Dez by two. I got Dez by two, so that's right. All that matters.
That's right.
Let's leave it with this. What are the conditions like for caddies this week? What's the food like? What's the hut? Are you in a tent? Is it a good setup this week for you guys?
Oh, yeah. It's awesome. We are on the second floor of the Ocean Course Clubhouse, and the food is phenomenal. Breakfast today, anything you could ask for breakfast, pretty much. For lunch, nice salad, some steak for lunch, crab cakes if you wanted that. I passed on that. They have different wraps for us, things like that. Any color Gatorade you want, they've got it.
Damn. Fancy.
They didn't go cheap on the waters either. I think they got Life waters, which is a little bit more expensive than the Dasani's or whatever. So they're really taking care of us. Desserts are good too. Yeah, so they're treating us well. And the view that we've got from the Caddy dining area is looking right out over the 18th green into the ocean. So it's awesome.
That's awesome. Let's leave it with this. What do you think the winning score is going to be this week?
Man, that's a tough one. It just depends. I'd say I honestly think it depends on how windy it gets. If it's not windy, I think it's going to be 10 under. If it gets windy, it could be 3 or 4 under. So I'll tell you 6 under. How about that?
All right. I like it.
Sounds good.
We'll leave it at that, Kyle. We appreciate it as always. Good luck this week. And hopefully we don't hear your dad yelling at you after a wrong number or something with that rangefinder.
Yeah, exactly.
Paid for all those lessons for you to carry golf bags out there, I guess, instead of walk out there.
Yeah.
All right, Kyle. Have a good one, buddy.
All right. Sounds good. All right. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Peace. Thanks.
For that interview, we always appreciate him coming on and giving us a quick preview of the major championships. And this guy's he's dialed in this week. He's ready to go. It should be a fun week. It sounds like it's in a good spot. The caddies are happy. You gotta keep those guys happy. And Scott, I think the biggest part of that interview, the biggest thing I learned from that, is the best in the world caddy on the PGA Tour. I want you to remember that.
I'm sure you're going to get that tattoo soon, very soon.
You know, I might throw on my wall just a quote, Kyle Peters.
It should be on the sign right behind you for sure. That's your next one going up there.
It really should. You are correct. So learn that lesson today. Well, I guess best in the world in something. Best in the world in something.
That's not a bad thing. And you heard it from Pepper, so you got to believe it.
Exactly. All right. We do this every time we do a major championship. We do a draft. We're going to get to our 5 best bets, but we don't want to give that now because what if I say something and then you want to steal my guy? And I don't want that to happen. So we're going to do our draft. I believe I won the last time we've done a bet. So I'll give you first pick this week. We're going to pick 4 players. We're going to go back and forth how we usually do it. We got 3 picks and then 100-1 or worse as our 4th pick. Whoever makes the most money at the end of the week owes the other guy a nice bottle of wine. I think I have 2 coming my way, if I'm not mistaken.
You do.
I believe I owe you 1. We're losing count at this point. We need somebody else to do it.
I've made more trips to the LCBO than I have to the golf course this year. How's that? God.
I don't want to talk about that. Whatever. All right. Why don't you go first? Who is your first pick this week?
I am going to put some stock in Cameron Champ. I think.
Wow. With first overall, you're going Cameron Champ.
I am. I know I've got lots of options here, but I don't know. I think there's just some things that will help him out on this golf course. Firm, he's got some room, low trajectory player. If the wind comes up, I just think there's some good assets that he has that match well to this golf course.
All right. Well, I mean, if you're not going to take him, I will. I'll take Rory. I don't know how you don't take Rory first overall. I think it's an easy pick. You know, last time he was there, he won by a billion, right? He's going to guarantee win. You already said it's not a guarantee win. You already gave him a bogey this week. You don't believe in him. He's putting that in his locker. He's going to play your segment at the start every single day.
He's going to get motivated by me?
By you, and he's going to go out, and he's just going to destroy it, and then he's going to win. So I got Rory as my first pick.
Well, and you know what? Cameron Champ is actually 149-1, so I took my high guy early.
All right. Okay. Yeah, that's true. That is true. All right. Who's your next pick?
I'm going to go with Xander Schauffele.
I like that pick right now.
Yeah. Super strong. We'll get into it a little bit when we start talking about some of our bets, but, you know, He's got a good record in the PGA Championship. Again, another player, I think, who matches up well with the tools to do well on this golf course. And I think he's a mentally strong player as well, which I think is going to be very important to stay patient and calm all week long here.
Yeah, Reed, who we've mentioned, my buddy Reed, we've mentioned on this podcast a couple of times, when he had Xander in some sort of bet at the Masters, and when he dunked it on 16, Reed was going off. He's never going to win a major with that. So I picked Rory, but I have a side bet with Reed that Xander will beat Rory this week. So
nice.
Just covering all my bases. I have no idea where my money is right now. At the end of the week, I might have some, I might not. Who knows? So, all right, that's your first pick. I will go with my second pick. I said it at the top. I really believe this is a good week for him. I got to take Jordan. I think this is the best chance he's had coming into the PGA Championship in a while. So why not? Why can't it be Jordan's time? And then the storylines. After.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, where does he rank in the top golfers of all time?
Yeah.
Top three? Is he third behind Tiger and Jack?
Oh, boy.
It's going to get chaotic. So, as much as I want it, the content, I don't know how long I can watch the Golf Channel with that on. But, hey, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Who's your third pick?
I'd definitely love to see it. That's for sure. But not for the sake it'll put more money in your pocket. But anyways, we'll leave it at that. My third pick's going to be Mark Leishman. He's a guy I've bet on a little bit this year, and I'm hoping he's going to come through. I think being an Aussie, I think just the style of this golf course, how it's built into the sand and the dune, I think there's going to be a lot of familiarity here. Guy hits towering long iron shots, which are certainly essential. I heard a couple of players playing the practice rounds today on the back nine, hitting long irons into all the par fours just because the wind was coming in the one direction. A player needs to be able to do that. That said, I just like his style of play, and I think he's got the experience as well that might help him out here.
I like that. It's going to be a ball striker's course. That's clear and evident. So Leish is a ball striker. Xander's a ball striker. Rory's a ball striker. I got to go with, the people's ball striker, the Canadian people's ball striker. I know it sounds like a homer pick, but I gotta take Corey Connors. I really do believe this is a course that he should do well at. He's of average length, I think it's fair to say. He's not super long, he's not short, you're right in the average there, but what he does well is he strikes the ball well. If he gets a hot putter this week, there's no reason this guy can't be in the top 10 or top 5, or maybe it's his breakthrough week, he picks up a win at the PGA Championship. Now those stories I will never get let get old. Go on all day about that. Maybe I can text them for once, not about getting a hole in one, but actually winning a tournament. So
that'd be great to see. Yeah, that'd be great to see. And as you said, it really comes down to that putter more than everything. I think he's got everything else covered off. Speaking of ball strikers and Aussies, I'm going to take another Aussie, and this is a little bit of a flyer. I'm kind of throwing out some odd picks this week, but for particular reasons. Cam Davis, past guest on the show, like his style of play, like his driving distance. Again, I think the golf course has that familiarity, sort of that sandbelt feel to it. I think they're going to feel at home in the low country, just, feels a lot like Australia. They're just going to be really comfortable. And I think, this is a guy that needs a little bit of a breakthrough. And I think this is where it could happen for him.
I like that. I was chatting with his caddy today as well, just to check in, and they're feeling good. As they should. The guy is deep this year, and I think his mental game is getting to the place it needs to be. He's due for a win here, so top 20, I think you're going to get some good odds on that regardless. All right, so my 100-1 now. I got my other three. This one, it's so like the one that's so close that really. It sounds stupid that people should be looking at is Brian Harman at 91. I'm not a fan of Brian Harman, but that it's so close there. I'm actually going to go with Garrick Higo. I talked about him last week. He got him at 126-1, coming in hot with two wins. I understand this is going to be bright lights for the kid, but maybe he doesn't see the lights through those sunglasses. He rocks those sunglasses like Phil throughout the round, and he doesn't see them. So I like this kid. I like watching him in the mornings on the European Tour. earned his way into this event. Let's see what he's got. Let's see what he's got. I'm worried. I don't expect this kid to win, but if he's in the top 10, David Lynn did it.
Yeah, 100%. Yes. So. Yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, you look back at that, Peter Hansen did it. There's like lots of players that were in the mix there.
Who's the other guy? I already forget his name. Matt Steele or something like that, or Blake Adams.
Blake Adams.
Yeah, I need to look up this guy's where he's at. Like the last tournament he's
nowhere. I guarantee you, he's nowhere.
So. Yeah, we'll have to look into that at some point. I'll get back to them by the end of this episode.
Sounds good.
But that's it for the week. So we got, who do you got there, Scotty? Why don't you run them off for the
time? I took Cameron Champ, Xander Schauffele, Mark Leishman, and Cam Davis. My guy that was the outlier that was going to be in the mix, maybe, that I'm going to regret, was Gary Woodland. But he didn't make my lineup. It was close.
That's too bad. Well, let's get to our five bets, and then we'll hit the mailbag. What are the five bets you're placing this week? Why don't we go back and forth here, Scotty? What's your first bet that you like that you want to place this week?
Well, my one is going to be a familiar name because I just mentioned him, Gary Woodland, as far as the top 10. I mean, I believe so much in my other four guys that I believe this guy's going to be in the top 10 as well. He's coming off a fifth at Wells Fargo. Again, got some length, got some tools that way, got some momentum. And, 9-1, I think he's still 9-1. He's got to be more than that. Sorry.
9-1 for a top 10. Yep. 9-1 for a top 10.
For top 10. Sorry. Definitely. I think there's some decent value in that.
Yeah. My first one is a top 10 as well. I got Corey Connors at a 6-1 at top 10. I think it's solid odds. It's a bet. Like Corey's almost at that point where it's like the Brooke Henderson, where in these big tournaments, he gets pushed out from the big names, and he tends to just always top 10 in them or get close. Like, you're going to profit if you bet him almost top 10 and top 20 every single big tournament because he's always there. So easy pick for me.
Yeah, definitely. My next one is going to be the winning score. We heard Kyle talking a little bit about the score. Wind starts blowing here. 278 or higher is going at 14-1. So, you know what? That could come into play. So you could be sneaky there and maybe throw a tenner on that and sneak some cash out of that.
Yeah, a couple sideways wins, as you heard, and things could get chaotic. So keep an eye on that now. Right. Like, think about that now of, if I can check tomorrow, what does Friday look like? Is there a side win? I'll dabble some 14-1 right there. Don't think that don't forget the bookies are also doing the same thing.
Oh, of course. 100%. Those are moving left, right, and sideways. So you definitely have to get ahead of it, especially if you're going to look at that weather forecast. They know wind is going to be a factor. I mean, we're going to hear that word. We've probably already said the word wind 100 times in this podcast. And if you turn on the broadcast right now and into the preview shows, you're going to hear it every few minutes. They're going to be talking about it. So you certainly know it's going to play into the betting odds as well.
For sure. I'm going with the rest of the world bet for the winner. So how this works, they have the US on this betting service. They have the US, they have Europe, and then the rest of the world. And I'm picking the rest of the world to win at 5-1.
Yeah.
A couple of the guys I drafted this week, they're in that circle, with obviously Connors and Garrick being South African. You have a couple in there as well, right? Like Cam Davis, Mark Leishman, right? These are guys that easily could pick up a win this week. So why not 5-1 at the rest of the world?
I like that one. This golf course also rewards creativity. I mean, I mentioned it when we were talking early on. It is a golf course that definitely plays a little bit links-like in some areas. You sometimes have to play some shots one way or the other. So I like that creativity angle in picking Bubba Watson for a top 20 at 30-1. Again, lots of value in that one. Definitely, he's a guy that could he could get offline.
Member guest or something like that recently?
Yeah, with Jay Monahan.
Jay Monahan, yeah.
And the funny part is, I didn't even laugh at that because, I saw it and I wasn't surprised by it because when he was a member at a golf course called Old North State in Lexington, North Carolina, that we went and played, one of the conditions when he was a member at that golf course, he had a house in that community, was that he could play in their club championship just because he wanted to play golf, not because he wanted to beat everyone to death in the event. He was a member at that club, so he got to play. And there were lots of other good players that were there, but I believe he won it by 21 shots. So this is a guy who still likes to play casual golf.
That's awesome.
Outside of the tour as well.
Bubba, he's...
He's Bubba. Yeah,
you love him, you hate him. Did I ever tell you about his truck, his giant Oakley truck at the Greenbrier Park?
No.
Right out front? Just absolutely so, because he lives there. He's got a house down the Greenbrier, a couple of them down there. So I guess he just drove his silly truck to the tournament each day. Oh, we don't need to get that. All right, my next bet, I'm going to go with a miscut bet. I'm actually going to go back-to-back here. I'm going to give you two in a row. I got a miscut for John Rahm at 4.33-1. Not huge bet. You can see I am picking some bigger bets, like these, you know, 30-1s. They're big bets, but these are ones where there's more likely a chance. John's not coming in hot. He's said recently, you know, his equipment, he's still learning to, you know, if he like, he loves it. That really turned, eh? Don't you love that? Is when guys make the equipment switch. Oh, this ball is the best ball I've ever had for me. All these clubs, they're so dialed in. 2 months later, a bunch of missed cuts. Oh, I don't know. Also, Sergio, can we just really quick sidebar? Sergio going back to TaylorMade, that timing is so odd.
Like, it was weird, eh?
Why now? Right before PGA? I'm just odd. It's all odd. Just a bunch of oddities.
And you know what? That plays into what you're talking about with the ball situation there. I mean, he moved over after 15 years at TaylorMade. Obviously, he had a brief honeymoon with Callaway and then departed with them because he couldn't play the ball and didn't want to play the ball. That was supposedly the dispute that split them up. Became a free agent last year, and then now all of a sudden he's back to TaylorMade. So, hey, who knows? Welcome to golf.
For sure. So I got John Rahm to miss it. And then I got Phil to miss it as well. This is probably the lowest odds, and I'm going to tell you, hammer this one. 1.77. You know, you're not getting a buck for your buck, to be exact, but there's 0% chance that Phil makes a cut this week. I'm saying zero. He's not finding fairways, and when Phil doesn't find fairways and it's like that, it's going to be a disaster. That 7-under with Joel Damon really turned a corner the next 3 days. I don't even know what he finished, like 50th or something like that in that week that put Joel. So I do not see Phil making the cut this week.
I've got a funny little side story on Phil. If you go off the right side of the 10th hole at the Ocean Course at Kiawah, in the distance, there are a number of very large beachside properties. I mean, they have some beautiful homes at Kiawah. I mean, the average price of a home is four times the average of in America. We're talking, you know, tens of millions, some of these homes are. Well, apparently, if you look at this one house, the first in this large row, you can see that they have a big party deck way up at the top of the house. It's probably up on the third deck. So if you look at the South Carolina-style beach houses, they're kind of up on pontoons and way up. And then there's another deck that's up on top of it. It's sort of like a widow's walk, which you can really look out to the ocean. Apparently, in the 2012 PGA, Phil was at a party at this house, and somehow they convinced him to hit tee balls off this deck, off this widow's walk, off the top, out in towards the swamp, towards where the 10th fairway is. So I don't know the validity of that. It came from a caddy that was caddying for me when the last time I played the Ocean Course. But
the caddies know everything, man.
The caddies do know everything. So that's why I would say it's somewhat reliable and certainly sounds like something like Phil would like to do and entertain at a party.
I like it. All right. Why don't you give us your next two, and then I'll wrap up my best bet before we hit the mailbag this week.
Yeah, the winning margin, 40-1 that the margin will be 2. I think this is going to be a compressed event. I know Rory ran away last time, but I think it's going to be pretty tight. You can obviously bet, you know, more than 3-2-1 a playoff or whatever, but I think 40-1, there's a lot of value that it'll be 2. Seems like a good thing to make a dollar on. And then my last one, I think, was just Shoffley. That top 10, you know, we talked about him in my picks, but he has finished top 10 in 8 of his 16 major appearances, including a T10 at the PGA Championship, the last one, and that's going at 21-1. So I think that's a solid one.
I like it. I think that is a good one. It's 2-1 for the record.
Oh, sorry,
21-1 because that would be insane, and I would.
Yeah,
I bet my mortgage on it. My last one is it's from the heart. This one comes from the heart. It's one that we've all seen before. We've all done this dance. We've played this song, and we've sung along. It's a first round leader at 81-1. My guy. Charlie Hoffman. This guy is the...
How could you not bet that?
I don't know how it was 81. It should be even money.
I don't even know
money.
How it's available.
It should be even money.
Wow.
This guy has led so many majors after day one. I know it's been a while since he's done it, but he's played well of late. So I love it. Chucky Hoffman, do me proud. He's got to bring back the mullet. I think that's what he's got to do. Remember when he had the flow going and he was playing great back then? I think he's got to bring it back, and maybe he'll be first round leaders again. But I got to throw it. $5 on it wins you 405. And if it doesn't
beat that,
if it doesn't happen, well, then who cares?
You're out $5.
I have $5. But if it does, I sound like a genius on this podcast. And
you probably cover all your other bets.
And I cover a lot of other bets, exactly. All right, Scotty, why don't we hit the mailbag? A lot of good questions this week. Before we hit the mailbag, let's hit another message from our episode sponsor.
At Ping, we're an engineering company. Success is measured in the lab and on your scorecard. We focus on results, your results. In the G425 Max Driver, that means more time in the fairway, less time in the rough. It means longer drives, shorter approach shots, and fewer putts. The new G425 drivers, taking MOI to the max. Get fit today.
Visit ca.ping.com to learn more about G425.
All right, let's get to the mailbag this week. A PGA Championship only edition. Really appreciate everybody sending in those questions, so keep them coming. Number one this week, do you think players have a different attitude because it is a major week? And I apologize for I just bit my tongue while I was like, saying that question.
Rolled your tongue there. That was interesting. It was like an Arabic accent.
I don't know what I was trying to do. Love it.
Odd. I need a reset on that. No, I think it depends on who we're talking about, right? Like I mentioned, I picked Garrick Higgo for one of my picks. Like that guy, this is his first major. He's clearly, you know, he's playing well and he's not out of his element, but he's out of his physical, like mental element in a lot of ways. He can compete with any of those guys out there. He's beat many of them before, but it's just, it's going to be very new. But, you know, the guys like Jordan and all them, I think they don't do anything different. It's just, Jordan said it today, when you're coming down that back nine, you're in contention, that's when you do. But up until that point, you really don't. Preparation doesn't change. It's more routine at that point. And I don't think so for a lot of those guys, other than maybe I give Brooks Koepka. I think his attitude does change. He actually tries.
I think JT said that as well. You know, he talked a lot about just going out there and doing your thing and setting the table for getting yourself in that situation. You're right. The players that are maybe not used to the situation are the ones that are going to be, you know, knee knocking on the first tee and maybe treating it differently than the fact that it is still a golf course, and a golf course they have to play for 72 holes. They're the ones that are going to have the mental struggles, not so much the physical struggles, because obviously they can play the game. They work their way in here. Might be different if you're a qualifier from the PGA of America ranks is in this tournament. They might be overwhelmed, but they also might be there thinking, I'm not going to make the cut anyway, so I'm just going to enjoy it. For the rest of the players, anyone that are going to contend, no, I don't think they really treat it any differently. They just know that the trophy is bigger at the end, and so is the paycheck. But in the meantime, they're going to have to hit shot after shot after shot and then count it up at the end. All right, on to the next one here. You good with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with it. Now, this next one, let's try to get through without hurting ourselves. Okay?
Would you like to see the wind blow at Kiwa or lay down for entertainment value?
For entertainment, I do. I love watching the chaos and seeing the best players. Now, for the PGA Championships entertainment, I do wonder. I do wonder if that's what they want. Do they want chaos? Do they want to be the U.S. Open? Do they want to be the tournament that, you know, everyone can go low at? I think I feel like they're just at this cross. You know, they don't know what they are still. It's really odd. It's that weird term that's a major, but they don't know what they are. And this week, I think it's a week where we're going to get chaos regardless. So I hope, though, it happens. You know, Kyle said it could get chaotic. Get a cross win every single shot. You got to figure out the wind. Like, I can't hit a draw here because it's literally coming 15 miles per hour off the left, right? How am I going to, it should be fun. It should, like, I'm all for high scores. I'm all for plus 8 winning this tournament. I'd be cool with that. But
yeah, I have no issues with that. Yeah, I don't have any issues with that. And if the wind blows, I mean, we don't want it to the point that it's unplayable, you know, as far as the players hiding under umbrellas and things like that. And you know, spectators being blown into the ocean or anything like that. But you know what? Certainly, if we see it come down to the end at 17 and, you know, maybe they get a back right pin, it's playing like 248 and they've got a 20 mile an hour wind coming from the side. Yeah, you know what? You're either going to have to be a hero or a zero in that situation. And like Kyle said, you know, if you're a spectator on that left side of 17, you're going to see some balls coming in hot there. So I think the entertainment is ingrained in this golf course. It, you know, it does have some width, but I think it's ingrained. You are going to see some Benny Hill level comedy shots this week. It's guaranteed. There is going to be there's going to be enough footage for a Fail Army clip in here for sure.
Love it.
All right, on the next one here, do you think many players will make club adjustments for this particular setup, and what would they be?
The club adjustments you're going to see is just like irons, longer irons going into play instead of hybrids. Again, Jordan kind of talked about this today. You know, a lot of guys aren't going to change anything. You know, Rory might pull out a 5-wood for a 3-iron or something like that, though I think his standard bag is just a 5-wood and a three-wood, five-wood and a 3-iron anyway. Yeah. But you're going to see stuff like that, a couple 2-irons in the bag for if, you know, when it is downwind, just being able to de-loft it, keep it low, and find some fairways. But outside of that, you're not going to get too much, you know, you're not going to get shaft adjustments, things along those lines for this type of golf course. You know, everything else you have in your bag is in your bag for a reason.
Yeah, I think the only thing I would say around the greens, I mean, the turf conditions are not so critically different that you're going to see a lot of bounce adjustments or things like that. We may say players, you know, go up in loft with their putters a little bit. This is definitely a golf course playing more link style around the greens. The greens are not particularly fast. And, you know, as Kyle talked about, you know, they're past ballum. We don't see a situation where there's a lot of grain, but because they might be a little bit slower because there is a lot of wind and things like that, some players might tweak and go up a little bit in loft. But I certainly could see players maybe make some adjustments in those long irons. They may choose to put a long iron in their bag that maybe doesn't quite launch as high, maybe go from something that's an internal cavity back to something else. But I don't see a lot of changes here. And the par fives are not particularly reachable depending on the wind conditions, but you might see a few players pop a 7-wood or a 5-wood in the bag for a particular hole or something, but I wouldn't see a lot of them. All right. Do you think the experience of playing here in 2012 will be a big advantage for the players this week?
No, the amount of information that these guys have nowadays, you don't need to go play, like, have the experience there. The lines off the tee, they determine that. They've been there for, a lot of them have been there since Sunday. Some of them probably been there since Friday. Yeah. Right. So I don't really think that is the case. You talked about redesigns of greens and holes and all that type of stuff that happens, right? 9 years is a lot of years for a golf tournament. Obviously for a guy like Rory, he's going to be going in feeling confident. He knows he can win here. There's a guy like David Lynn who's going to be sitting on his couch and not playing. So it's like, or like, I don't see Poulter because he top 10 being like, I got it this week. Like, yeah. It's again, Poulter at 7,900 yards, apparently. Like, I don't think you got it this week. So I do not think there's much experience outside of, you know, just little things, but you get those so quickly now with the information they have.
Yeah, for sure. And we don't have a set of rugs here that are particularly challenging. There's a couple of green surfaces that are a little bit difficult, but, you know, it's not Augusta National or anything. It's not a place where you have to go and play, you know, 100 rounds to feel comfortable around the greens and get a real feel for the speed and the breaks. So I think you're bang on there. They'll get enough knowledge in their practice round and their books just from their experience. They just need to hit the shots more than anything. And if they've got a good game plan, you know, they can take that and apply that anywhere. All right. How do you think Sam Burns will fare this week, given his recent form?
Yeah, this is a weird one. I actually thought about drafting him. He's still a pretty young lad, 24 years old.
Yeah,
he's only ever played in, what, 2 major championships ever, and never off of He's played in 3. One T29 at the PGA Championship 2 years ago. So he can do it. It's just, you know, are the lights still bright for him too, right? Like, you don't know. Is he now coming in with too big of expectations on himself because of his recent success at the Valspar? And then again, recently last week, you know, being in the mix until the end, I just don't know. I don't see a top 10 coming out of him, but could he top 20? Maybe, you know, where I don't know enough about this guy. I'm not going to lie. Like, where's he at lengthwise? Where is he, like, you know, what's his game really? Like, how do you define his game? The only time I ever really watched him play was at the Valspar. And I think I said on that podcast, it might have been a boring golf tournament because Sam Burns versus Keegan Bradley brought no joy to me.
Yeah, he's got decent length, and he's certainly not short on confidence as far as his skill level is concerned. But I would say, too, you know what? Those skills will help him probably, like you say, get to that level where maybe, you know, he gets in that top 20. I don't know if he's got the confidence and skill level that will propel him up there. On the other side of it, we've talked about it before, you know, after two big weeks here at that Valspar and then obviously at the Byron Nelson, you know, what's this guy got left in the tank as well? So. Yeah, so I mean that takes something out of you. Yes, you know, players play hot streaks and they play for a while. That is definitely going to linger as far as his feel is concerned. But you know, Valspar and the Byron Nelson are not the ocean course with the wind flying,
especially the Byron Nelson.
Oh yeah, exactly. So I mean, you know, you're talking about birdie fests where this is going to be a grind fest, is what this is. I'm not saying he's not capable of it. But I don't really have high expectations to, you know, to bet on him for a win or anything like that. All right, last one here we'll get to. We've talked about this a little bit already, but do you think Phil Mickelson will contend this week or even make the cut? I think you've already said your piece on
nope
that one.
Nope. Yeah, it's not happening. I said if Phil is going to make a run in a major again, it's going to be at Augusta and it's got to be perfect. It's got to be right into Phil's conditions. His arthritis has got to be in a good place that week. I know I say that in jest, but it's probably a real thing, unfortunately, at his age. I think we need to let Phil, you know, take his final parades here and know that at some point he's just a ceremonial golfer. It's sad.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously got some skills, but, you know, to put it together for 4 days, especially how erratic he can be in certain parts of his game, you know, I would probably have a bigger bet that he might be pictured someplace with an alligator this week in the background at some point.
Bigger bet that he's, like, if I can find a bet that he will be on a broadcast, not, like, playing, but, like, actually in the booth this week, I would place that. I would love for Phil to be in the booth on Sunday chatting away.
Yeah, it definitely would be awesome. And maybe you can take the place of Bones, who's going to be caddying for Max Homa this week.
That's
so
pretty cool.
Maybe Phil needs to take Bones' job and get out on the golf course.
Yeah, that'd be pretty funny, him chirping him and all that. Yeah, that'd be great. They don't like, do those two not talk anymore? Like, it seems like.
I think they're still friends. I still think they're cordial. But I just don't, you know, I don't think they're seen together or anything. There's not really a situation where they're hanging these days.
Get back to us on that. That's some investigative journalism I need you to do for the National Enquirer of Tea Talk.
Yeah, I just think I think Phil is going to be one of those guys, just because of the nature of his game, that he's going to be in one of those odd situations this week where it's some weird lie and some sand dune making some spectacular shot. So count on that. There will be a Phil highlight of some sort this week. So thanks, everyone, for sending in your questions this week and keeping them PGA Championship specific. Keep sending them in. We'll put out the feelers every week on our social media for you to send in those questions. So keep them coming.
Awesome. Let's hit the tip of the week. How any feedback from last week? I know we've been posting it visually on the Tea Talk Podcast Instagram. You're having a lot of fun with those tips. So what are we going to be chatting about this week, Scott?
Well, I think we surprised people by putting it out there, but did hear from a couple people on that. I'm going to talk a little bit about centeredness of contact this week and why it's important and how you can work on that skill in your game.
All right, for the tip of the week this week, we're going to deal with one of the most important fundamentals. And that most important fundamental is centeredness of contact. We can do a lot of things in our golf swing that are preferences, but as long as we can get centered contact, we're going to be in a position that we're going to get maximum ball speed. We're going to transfer as much of that club head speed to ball speed as possible. We're also going to be able to start the golf ball in a better spot as well. And the reason for that is basically if we're making shots and we hit the golf ball off the heel or toe, the club face is going to twist around its center of gravity. We're going to change the face angle, and that's going to change where the start line is for the golf ball. Obviously not great. So how can we work on that? Well, not everyone has access to a TrackMan or a GC Quad where we can look at strike point, but guess what? Most of us will have access to something like Dr. Scholl's, just a foot spray. Really simple, spray up the face, you can see where the contact point is. Now you may have to work with your pro as far as a technique standpoint to find out why you're hitting it off the heel or toe, low in the face or high in the face, but you can develop the skills a lot on your own just by knowing where your contact point is. We have a great ability to self-organize, and just knowing that you have that feedback of where you're striking it will be really helpful in your practice session. So check your strike point, grab some foot spray. You'll be better off for golf this year.
Awesome, Scotty. As per usual, great tip of the week. Make sure you check the video of that on our Instagram Tee Talk podcast. I'm sure Scotty will also post it on the Flagstick Instagram account as well. Well, that's it for us this week. PGA Championship week. Cannot wait. Another major in the books. Shout out to our sponsor, Ping, for sponsoring this episode as per usual. Shout out to our guest, Kyle, for giving us a great preview of Kiawah Island. And then shout out to our caddy behind the scenes, our guy that does it all, our producer, Brendan Kennedy. Check out Glorious Sun's new song out tomorrow. We're recording this on Tuesday. Hopefully, I guess out today. We're going to get this out on Wednesday. So new song out. That's exciting. Brendan works for them. So he's fired up. He's ready to get back to work. He's done with us. He's done delivering cakes. He wants to get back to work. And that's a start, a step in the right direction. Scotty, let's go with this. Let's wrap it up with this. What do you think we are going to be talking about next week? Give me your storyline that we're going to kick off the episode with.
Well, I'm really hoping it's going to be us making some tee times, getting out on the golf course, making some content, and the rest of Ontario, where we live, getting out and playing as well.
It's a bold prediction. Remember when I put Scotty on the spot a few weeks ago, folks, and I said, do you think? And he wouldn't give an answer. So the fact he's saying that, that's awesome. I was going to go PGA Championship style, so I love that. That's positive. I think we're coming in, and I think we're having the conversation of, where does Corey Connors sit all time in Canadian golf ranking? Because he has just won the PGA Championship. We love it. We love Corey. Cannot wait. It's going to be a great weekend. Great couching weekend. Go Leafs go. Unfortunately, have you been watching the Calgary Flames wrap up their season against the Vancouver Canucks? Riveting hockey as the playoffs play.
Okay,
we don't want to talk about that. All right, let's leave it there. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week. We'll chat with you then.